Church, it's good to be here and to have this opportunity to share with all of you. Actually, I should say it's good to be back because I was actually a student here from 2016 to 2020. And while I was a student here, I actually had the opportunity to work to co-labor with many of you who are in this church. And so I know Professor Zhonghui, and I don't know Jianhua Jie, right? I know Wu Jiong, all from my times here as a student. We were all in the Chinese International Students Outreach Ministry together, right? So every Friday night we would meet and do Bible studies. And that was really a blessing for me and an experience in my faith journey that really grew my faith. And I also know many of you here from GCBCR, right? So all of you younger people who are currently in college from Richmond. So after I graduated in 2020, God gave me a vision to go back to Richmond, to go back to GCBCR, which is the church that I grew up in. Pastor Daniel was my pastor there when I was a youth student for many, many years. And so I knew him well from that time. But God gave me a vision to go back to my home church and to serve in the youth ministry there. And so many of you sitting here today, when I moved back, you were still in high school and we were in youth ministry together, right? So it's good to see you guys now in Charlottesville. I think God just works in really amazing ways. So now just a little bit of introduction of myself and saying hello to old friends. But for those of you who don't know me, my name is Yuqing. I think I forgot. I don't know if I already mentioned that. My name is Yuqing. It's nice to meet you if we haven't met. So today I'm here to share about my mission trip experience to La Ciudad de Mexico. So, but before I start, let me say a quick word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this opportunity that you've given to me to share about my mission trip experience. It is my experience, but Lord, it is really your work. It is really your story. So, Father, I just pray that you would speak through me today, and may my words be of great encouragement to the brothers and sisters here today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is actually our mission to Mexico City is actually has become an annual trip that our church takes to Mexico City. And so I have been two times, and I'm about to go for my third time this summer. But today I'll primarily share about my experience from last year, 2024. Sorry, next slide. The summer of 2024. And so we went to Mexico City, which is right here. This is the US. Texas is right here. For those of you who are not great with geography, but you know, very basic stuff, Mexico City is in the country of Mexico. So we it's a short-term mission trip for 10 days. So we went last July. I actually have Orlando here with me, and he will be also sharing for a little bit his experience after I share. But it's a small team of the six of us, led by our then Chinese pastor, Pastor Lee. And so that's the man here taking the selfie for us, and also his wife, Miss Helen. And then there's me in the back and Orlando as well. And the other man is here is his dad. And then we have another auntie who went with us. And so it's a small group of six of us, a short-term 10-day mission trip to La Ciudad de Mexico. Can we go to the next slide? Just a little background about Mexico City. So I'm sure that many of you know that it is the capital city of the country of Mexico. But I bet that not many of you know that it is the most populous city in North America. It is not New York City, it is Mexico City. So in the city, we have 9.2 million people, but then in the metropolitan area of Mexico City, there's actually 22 million people. So it's a lot of people. I didn't know how populous of a city it was until I showed up. It is actually 82% Catholic. But I would say that it's not really Catholic, but I would call it quasi-Catholic. Because while a lot of them are Catholics, but their Catholic faith is a blend of Catholicism and folk religions of their culture. And so it's not, so they actually worship a lot of different things other than just Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and, you know, even beyond Jesus's mother, Mary. And so, you know, even though it's a city with a lot of Christians, but it's not, you know, it's not really Christians because they believe in a bunch of different things other than just Jesus Christ. And then some pictures here I wanted to show you guys. And so depending on where you are in the city, you can have very different experiences. And so Mexico City is a very historic city. So you see all of these, you know, you see a monument, you see these historical buildings all built from hundreds of years ago when, you know, the European conquerors came and took hold of the city. So they're very historic parts of the city. But then there's also very modern parts of the city where you see a lot of skyscrapers, and it just feels like, oh, you know, almost like New York City, very modern, very new, and looks, you know, very prosperous. And then there's also very rural parts of the city. There are parts of the city where even the roads are barely paved. And, you know, this you see some concrete, but there are very rural parts where you don't even have concrete paving on the road. It's literally just mud and dirt and rocks. And a lot of people live in those regions of the city, and obviously it's poorer parts of the city. So it's one city, but there's so many different scenes. Can we go to the next slide? I want to quickly talk about what were we doing there. Our primary mission there was actually to reach the Chinese people in the city. And when you think of Mexico City, Chinese people isn't the first population that would come to mind, right? You wouldn't think that, why are you, if you want to reach Chinese people, why do you go to Mexico City? Why do you do that? You should go to China, you know, or I don't know, Singapore or Taiwan, you know, not Mexico City. But actually there are a lot of Chinese people in Mexico City. It's a pretty big population. There isn't an official census or record of how big the Chinese population is in Mexico City, but it's anywhere from tens of thousands to 100,000 plus. And the reason why, does anybody know why there's so many Chinese people in Mexico City and what they're doing there? Okay, that's a part of the reason. any other reasons people know? It is to make money, exactly. So China, you know, is very good at producing a lot of just small merchandises, electronics, accessories, those kind of things. You can kind of see it in the picture here, you know, these like really cute looking, colorful, you know, Hello Kitty themed fans, right? So and these are like iPhone cases and stuff like that. So China produces a lot of those things, and there's a huge market in Mexico. And so a lot of Chinese people with the goal of, you know, economic opportunity, with the goal of making money, they go to Mexico City, and they bring with them, they import in all of these merchandises produced by China very cheaply, and they go to Mexico and they basically sell them to the locals there. And it's very, very, very popular. And you do get to make a lot of money there. And so a part of the activities that we did when we were there is we went into the marketplace. They're actually in downtown Mexico City. There are literally streets occupied by none other than Chinese vendors with stores like these. It's just all Chinese vendors with stores like these, and it's so popular. You see a lot of locals there. Just they're selling these accessories, these small electronics imported from China. And so our mission was we went out into those marketplaces, into those streets, and we tried to evangelize to those street merchants, and we tried to invite them to this Chinese church, this local Chinese church in Mexico City that we partner with. This is, by the way, the church that hosted us when we were there, and we were just there simply partnering with them. So we went out there into the market, tried to invite these Chinese vendors to the church. And I want to speak a little bit more about these Chinese vendors. As I said, their goal there is to make money. When you think of Chinese immigrants, you probably just think of Chinese immigrants in America. And it's very different. When you immigrate to America, you immigrate with the goal of integrating into this country, into this culture. You want to become a part of this culture. The mentality of those Chinese people going to Mexico is very different. Their goal is just to make money. That's it. They have no intention of blending into the local culture there. And to be fair, it is much harder in Mex to blend into the Mexican culture than it is American culture. You know, we're called the melting pot for a reason. It's much easier. But for them, they have language barriers. They barely speak the language, and they have no intention to learn. They have no intention to join communities. Their only purpose there is to just make money. And so the Chinese church there, we really see this the spiritual need in these people, because when we go out there, when we meet them, when they talk to you, they don't really want to talk to you. If you want to buy things, they will talk to you and let you know how much things cost. But if you want to have like a 5-minute conversation with them, and you want to have eye to eye conversation, they wouldn't look you in the eyes because you're just busy making money. Their whole life is revolving around money. And so there's just a lot of darkness there. And a lot of them are living really miserable lives, just pursuing after money. And so the goal of this local Chinese church there is to reach them, is to reach the lost. Basically, they're lost in this world, in a foreign country, just by themselves, experiencing much loneliness, and with just the goal of making money. And that's the only thing that's driving them forward. And so we want to let them know that, hey, actually, there's something that's much better in life beyond just making money. And you can find a community here at this Chinese church. You can find a sense of belonging. You don't have to just be here to make money and have no life outside of that. So that's the message that we want to get across to them. The picture here, this is the Chinese church. This is actually their sanctuary. As you can see, right, it's pretty small. It's literally just like a house. And this is like the living room area, I guess, of this church. It's maybe 50 to 60 people when we went. This is not everybody, but this is like a Friday or Saturday night small group that we were having at the church. It might be a little bigger now. Maybe I think they're really growing to maybe like 100 people now, but this is what the church looks like. So yeah, so that was our primary goal, was to reach the Chinese people. Eliza, can you go to the next slide? But we also saw and tended to the needs of the local community. So beyond just trying to reach the Chinese people in the city, we also went to and did some partnership with this local children's ministry. So these that local church is partnering with. And so there's this organization that basically takes in a lot of the a lot of children in the city who are very underprivileged, who come from households with no adults in them, who come from households with no parents in them. And so the founder of this organization saw the need and started basically a school to take in these kids. provide them with meals and give them an education, because a lot of these kids actually they don't go to school. They just, because they have no adults in their lives. And so they come and they provide them with an education, with food to eat, and obviously share with them Jesus Christ, because this is a Christian organization. And so when we were there, we went and we visited these kids. Primarily, we just played games with them. We taught them a song in English. I think this year in 2024, the song I taught them was I've Got Joy Like a Fountain. Is that right? Yeah. And then last year I taught them, or the year before that I taught them, Jesus Loves Me This I Know. Just very, very basic. These kids do not speak English. And so just taught them very simple English songs. And we also, you know, gave them some gifts. So, but there is a language barrier, because I don't really speak Espanol, even though I took it in high school, but it was very limited. And I was probably, and I'm sure Orlando speaks a little bit too, but we're probably we're the two people on the team who spoke Spanish the best. And so there was, you know, a lot of language barriers. But luckily, can you go to the next slide? We have a translator for us. This is her right here. Her name is Yasi. She's one of the youth at the local church that we were partnering with. And so I would speak in Chinese, and then she would, because her Chinese is very good, and she would translate my Chinese into Spanish. And that's how we would communicate with the local kids. But despite our language barriers, God still used us to bring his love to the local kids. I'm sure that the kids really felt our love from Jesus Christ, even though we didn't really, you know, speak the language. I tried a little bit, and I probably spoke really bad Spanish, and they all laughed at me for my bad language ability. But that's okay. That doesn't stop me, right, from trying to communicate with them and bringing the love of Christ to them. And so this is, me teaching them the song and some motions to go along with it. It's like, you know, VBS. And then this is Orlando right here. It was great to have him this year. He was playing the guitar for us. Last year, I was playing, you know, the song out of a speaker. But this year, it was like live music with Orlando's guitar. And so, yeah, that's Yasi translating for me right there. And then, yeah, all the kids, they were very into the dancing. Very sweet kids, though they don't have much, but they're very happy. And I was really moved by just my experience there with them. Okay, can you go to the next slide, Eliza? Thank you. My main job, actually, on this mission was to minister to the youth students there. That's the reason why when we first started doing this mission trip in 2023, Pastor Lee and his wife asked me to join, because they said, hey, in this local Chinese church there is a small group of youth students, and they don't really have the church, because it's so small and they have very limited resources, they don't really have a youth ministry that serves them. And so we want you to come along with us, and we want you to work especially in this youth group, in this youth ministry. And so that's the youth there. Bingbing, Yasi, that's me, Orlando, and that's Vicky and Erica. And so it's not huge, and it's mostly girls. But it was great to be back and to reconnect with them. I had met them in 2023, and then in 24, I went back again. And actually, they're the reason why that I decided to go back, because short-term mission trips are great. They're great for many reasons, but a shortcoming that it has is it always falls short of building relationship, because you go, you're only there for a very short period of time. And even if you are able to build really deep relationship really fast, after, you know, your time is up, 1 week, 2 weeks, you leave, and that's it. And I wanted to fill that gap. I guess. And so it was really sad the first time I was there. I had a great time together with them. And then when I was leaving, I just felt so sad because I'm like, yeah, I'm now going back to the US, very far away, and I don't get to really see you again. And so when I learned of the opportunity of going back again in 2024, that was what motivated me to go back for a second time. And what's motivating me to go back again for the third time this year is to continue to build on these relationships that I have started. And they are very, very sweet girls and just a lot of joy to work with. They do a lot for the church because, again, how small the church is. And so we always put our youth to work, right? And I'm sure, Daniel, you can relate here. So this is, you know, we're just a picture of us having some fun. If you know the board game, The Mind, it's a really fun game. And so I brought it with me and we played it with them and they really enjoyed it. And they're so sweet. Last year when Orlando and I, when we were about to leave, they actually drew this picture of all of us. They drew one for me and they drew one for Orlando. And then they made this fake flower out of paper, construction paper and craft materials for us. And so it's very sweet, very thoughtful girls. Actually before we advance into the next slide. So this is me just talking a little bit about our experience and what we did there. Now I'm going to spend a couple of minutes just sharing with you all some of my takeaways from this mission trip. So the first takeaway, it is so good to be in close fellowship of believers who share the same goal. And so Paul urges the Ephesians in chapter 4 with this: I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I really felt that as I was living life for those 10 days with the small group of us who went. We were certainly so eager to serve one another and bearing with one another. When we were living together, we had to cook our meals for ourselves and then obviously do the dishes. But everybody was just so eager to cook and to do the dishes. After we're done with meals, you never see the dish being left there for more than 5 minutes, because as soon as everybody finishes eating, somebody would rush to the dish and would clean it up. And it was without any grumbling, it was without any hesitation. Everybody was so eager to just serve one another, because we had one goal in mind, and that is we're here to not to serve ourselves or to be served, but we're here to serve each other and to serve this community. And so that was the mentality that we had. And I really enjoyed every morning we would, as a group, we'd get together, we would do morning devotionals before we go out into the market. And we would just encourage one another with the word of God, not with human wisdom, but we would just read a passage together and we would just share about, for some of us, maybe we have fears of going out to, you know, just randomly try to talk to people who don't want to talk to you. It's very daunting of a thing, but we would just encourage one another with the word, and we would remind one another of the gospel and of how great and how sweet, how good it is. And that kind of spurred us on. So it was just great to be living life like that. Though it was for 10 days only, it was almost like a controlled environment where you're free of distractions from work, from school, from family, but we're just there and we have one thing in mind, only one thing in mind, that is to share the gospel and to serve the community. And it is impactful to me, especially because, even though, as I said, it's only for 10 days, but it really changed the way that I view living. And so even coming back, The impact of that stayed with me. And when I come back, it really made me challenge the way that I live and think about how am I everyday life in the US, I can continue to live out that kind of lifestyle and encourage others to live out that lifestyle as well. Can we go to the next takeaway? Is that God equips and strengthens us to do this, to do His work, even when we are weak. And so for me, this year, I actually got really sick for 3 days. 3 out of 10 days there, 30% of the time, I was sick and I was in bed. And I couldn't really do anything. And that was really frustrating because I had a lot of things I was responsible for and I had to plan for. But because of my physical weakness, I was forced, essentially, to have to rely on God and to give everything up to Him and say, Lord, I don't have this all planned out. Because the year before, you know, 2023, I was like totally healthy. I didn't run into any problems. And so I going back for the second time in 2024, I was like, I have this like all like in control. Like, I, you know, this is my plan. This is how we're going to carry it out. So for example, and I, when I plan, I like to plan things out, like to the finest detail. So for example, I have to plan for the interaction with the local kids, right? We go visit them and we have to teach them. And so this is, so I would go back to like my high school Spanish days where I would basically write out in English the paragraph that I want to speak to them in, and I would translate them into Spanish and I would memorize it. Every single word and every single expression on my face, I would plan out and I would just go and kind of execute on that. That's my way of doing things. But this year, because I got so sick, I couldn't do that. I didn't have time to do that. I didn't have the energy to do that. And so that forced me to change my way of doing things. And that, so I couldn't rely on my own abilities, my own experience any longer, but I was forced to turn to God and say, God, I surrender all of this to you. I am not in control of any of this. So would you just come through and do your work through me and despite my lack of ability? And so the verse here that came to mind often when I was sick in Mexico was, but he said to me, this is Paul speaking again, but this is God speaking to Paul. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, for when I'm weak, I am strong. And indeed, I was strong, even though I was weak. So I was able to somehow, the day that we were visiting the kids, I was able to, you know, I was still sick, but I was able to muster up enough energy to go and still carry out, you know, like the teaching them the song and teaching them to dance. And I was, even though I was sick, I was able to still dance. God gave me enough energy that day to do everything that I needed to do. And even though I couldn't prepare for what I wanted to say to them, but they still received the message, and everything still went according to, you know, what we envisioned. And so God was really there. And it was because I was sick, it was because that I wasn't able to prepare, that I knew that it wasn't my ability, it wasn't my doing that, you know, caused everything to happen. So I was really able to give glory to God in my weakness. Last takeaway before I hand it over to Orlando, and this is something that I want to speak to all of you a little bit about as well, and that is we are so blessed to be in the U.S. and should consider how we can share the blessings God has given us with others. A quick story I want to share here. So as I mentioned, I'm there primarily to do work with the youth students, and so I remember the first Sunday I was there, I was teaching youth Sunday school, and 10 minutes into the Sunday school, there was a girl, she came in, you know, coming in late, and I just asked her to introduce herself and what she did, or what she does, I guess. And so she said, or no, I asked her like what her name and then her grade, actually, because this is, you know, youth Sunday school. She came in, she's like, my name's Elaine and I work. So in my mind, I was like, what is a working person doing here? You know, like this is a youth Sunday school. But then I responded, I was like, oh, that's great that you've, you know, graduated from college and now you're working. It must be, you know, a lot of freedom and really great making money. And to that, she kind of just like smiled and didn't say much. And then we kind of just moved on. And then a few days later, Pastor Lee and Miss Helen, they came back from visiting a brother at the church, and they were basically sharing with us what they learned of that brother. And they said, he has two daughters who live here. One is paralyzed in bed, and then that's the older one, and the younger one comes to church sometimes. You should have met her because she was in your Sunday school. And then I instantly realized that that was Elaine that they're talking about. But they also said that Elaine actually just graduated from high school, and she's now working. And when I heard that, I felt really ashamed because I had made the false assumption that when she came in and she shared that she's working, I assumed that she, if you're working, you must have graduated from college, because that's everybody that I interact with in the US. When you're like, you have to go, after graduating from high school, you go to college, right? And then you start working. But I just failed to acknowledge acknowledge the fact that not everybody in the world has the privilege that we do. And I'm so privileged here in the US that I couldn't even consider the fact that, hey, you know, not going to college is an option. And she didn't go to college, not because she didn't want to go to school, but because her family is poor and they need her to work, because her dad is in his 70s, also paralyzed. Her sister is totally paralyzed, and it's just her, and she's kind of like the breadwinner for the family at the age of 18. And so that was really humbling, and that just made me realize that us in the US, God has given us so much, not just as individuals, but as church as well. We have so much resources. I mean, the whole reason why I went to this church is because they don't really have a youth ministry. They don't really have people ministering to the youth students. They don't have youth Sunday school because they don't have enough resources, because all their parents are blue collar workers. They have to work on Sundays. They don't have time to prepare the programs for these kids. Yet we look at ourselves in the US. God has given us so much by comparison. And that shouldn't make us, you know, feel bad in any way or feel very good about ourselves, but it should really compel us to go and share the blessings that God has given us with the rest of the world, especially those who are not as fortunate as ourselves, because we are stewards of the resources that God has given to me, and we shouldn't hoard them and enjoy them to live our own lives. And so I want to leave with this passage from Luke 12:48. This is Jesus speaking. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. And so there's no question. We are people to whom God has given and entrusted much. And so let's heed Jesus's teaching here and to give much, because we have received much. Thank you. And now I will have Orlando come up and share his experience.
All right. Good morning, church. This is the first time doing something like this, but let me just first say that I was very honored and just very grateful for this opportunity to go on this Mexico mission trip. At the time that I went on this trip with, oh yeah, sure. It's not picking up. Okay. All right, there we go. But yeah, at the time when I first went on this mission trip, it was, as you saw in the picture, it was both me and my dad. So I was 17. Now I'm 18, but I was still 17 at the time. And I was going into this trip, I honestly wasn't very confident, because I've never really done something this out there. Like, I've helped out with youth ministries up until that point. I think I was already on the praise team helping out and kind of just leading small group and stuff. But as far as actually going on a mission trip, like, that was a pretty big deal. And I feel like I did have to pray a lot about it, and in the end, I did end up deciding to go with my dad, because first of all, going into this mission trip, my kind of idea was kind of shadowing, I guess, the older people and kind of helping out with them with their ministries, kind of like shadowing Yu Qing, helping out with the children's ministry, and also when we went to hand out flyers, shadowing my dad, just to see kind of what the whole, I guess, deal was. But I feel like towards the end, I was taking a lot more initiative. But yeah, I'll get into that with sort of more of my takeaways. But I think the first takeaway that I would have is, I guess, kind of similar to Yu Qing's second one, but also kind of different, which is just relying on God through prayer and just kind of just giving this mission trip up to Him. I feel like going into this mission trip, I did pray a lot, and there was a lot of hurdles for me, kind of especially going into the mission trip, because I am second gen Chinese, and I know a bit of Chinese, but I'm not very good at speaking Chinese. So it's kind of like going into this mission trip, the main mission trip team was primarily Chinese, like Pastor Lee, his wife, pretty much the entire mission trip team was planning everything in Chinese, like the WeChat group, the itinerary. So it was very difficult for me to kind of follow up or keep up with this stuff. But through a lot of prayer, and I guess through a lot of God's guidance, I was able to keep up. I remember one specific instance of this was when my dad was forwarding me the email for the itinerary for our trip. Like, it was a spreadsheet or a doc that had everything we were supposed to do, like a day-by-day highlighted basis. And I was like, yeah, all right, I'll read up on it so I know what we're doing. And it was all in Chinese, and I can't read Chinese. So basically what I had to do was I had to go through and translate every single component of the document, like through Google Translate, so I could like figure out what we were doing. And also through like a lot of help with my dad as well. But I really just thank God for just letting me take this, because I know the old me probably would have just looked at it and it's like, yeah, I'm not going through all that effort. Just like read through that. I'll just follow my dad. But I really thank God that he could just like, just I guess change my heart, because originally, yeah, coming in, I thought I was just shadowing my parent or my dad and Yu Qing. So I was like, I'll just follow them and everything they do. But with God helping me take that initiative, like that step to really just like, I guess, care more about this mission trip and just be on the same page as everyone else. And I guess the problems kind of kept going through, like the mission trip, like through all the stuff I'm saying is it's going to be a lot of hardships, which will make the mission trip sound like it was all problems. But these are kind of just things that I feel like kind of strengthened my trust in God throughout the process, which was honestly a lot of hardship. But as Yuqing did mention, I think both me and her, we both got sick quite a bit during the trip. For me, it wasn't really altitude sickness, but it was more like kind of the food we ate and kind of like just my body wasn't really familiar with the environment. So I remember this is one specific instance. We were having lunch at this like ramen place or this noodle place, and I got one of the bubble milk teas there because I thought like might as well try it. And then as soon as I drank it, like later that day, I pretty much started having like stomach problems. Like it was pretty bad. And the thing is with Mexico too is that public restrooms don't really exist. Like you have to pay money to use the restroom. Like they pretty much turned that whole like sector into like a business. But point is that it was very, very painful because we still had like half the day left, I think. Like we were still like planning other stuff. So I was like praying so much because like my stomach was not handling it. My body was not doing well. And then when we finally did get home, it was, I had spent a long time on the toilet. But let's just say I expected like this whole thing to be like a continuation into the next day because it was really, really bad. But miraculously, the next day, like, actually, I was immediately better. Like, I guess through, like, I guess God just kind of just took all the bad stuff and flushed it out of my system. But I was really thankful for that. And also, another instance was, I believe, towards the end of our trip as well. I didn't put up enough layers because the thing about Mexico City is that due to its high altitude, it's like you'd think Mexico would be really hot and this is a dry, arid climate. But in reality, Mexico City, it can get really cold there as well. Like, the weather just shifts in an instant. Like in the morning, it was really hot, really nice. So I wore like a t-shirt and shorts and stuff. But then the weather pretty much just snapped and it turned instantly and it was really cold. And then later that day, I ended up getting sick with like a cold. I was like coughing and sneezing and my nose was running and everything, like the whole nine yards. But I was like pretty bummed out because I thought I'd miss the next day of like handing out pamphlets. Or I'm pretty sure at that point, the next day would have been us. I think it was us going to the children's ministry, or maybe it was something else. But point is that I probably would have missed the next day. But then miraculously, again, I was better the next day. So I really thank God for that. It was a lot of prayer. And I guess God was listening. And he was like, yeah, this is really important. So yeah, I think any other hardships that we faced, there was quite a few other things. Like, I guess, again, going back to the translational thing, I was responsible for kind of helping out with Sunday worship. And I'll just, this is a little side thing, but I just want to emphasize again, like how much these youth students were helping out with their church. Like pretty much every Sunday, it was them leading the worship. And then pretty much right after worship, before me and Yu-Ching were there, I'm pretty sure like they probably just, I'm not too sure if they sat and listened to the sermon, but point is that they would go and immediately start helping out with other stuff like lunch preparations. Like they pretty much wouldn't get any opportunity to like, I guess, hear the gospel, hear the word. Like mm-hmm. they were pretty much just working the whole time. But yeah, they helped out with praise team, and yeah, they contributed a lot, and it was just a blessing that we could go over there and help them with Sunday school, really just show them the word and just offer them a few lessons. But back to what I was saying earlier, which is the sheet music. The sheet music was all in Chinese again, so I prayed a lot about that because, you know, performing up in front of that group of like 50 to 60 people is a lot of nerve-wracking, and then it also doesn't help when you can't understand like what's going on. Like I can understand the chords, but if there's any musicians here, you'll understand that's like half of it's knowing the chords and also half of it is knowing how the song progresses and how it goes. So I prayed a lot about that, and God helped through my dad because I'd spent a lot of time upstairs in like our room in the church building practicing these songs with my dad because my dad, he doesn't have the best singing voice. I mean, don't tell him I said that, but we were practicing together, and I could just really just feel God's presence when we were practicing together. So that was really beautiful. And yeah, I ended up playing with them, and I followed along the songs pretty well. And yeah, it was a blessing. And yeah, I think there was one other instance. This was kind of after the mission trick, but kind of just more of like more evidence of just God just really just giving his presence, gracing his presence for this mission trip, which was the plane ride back. I remember we were on like a Boeing 737, but when we were taking off, I remember like smelling this kind of odd oil smell in the air. And when we touched back down in Dulles International, like they had a bunch of fire trucks coming over, and it was like, yeah, I don't know if I've said the story even to like the GCBCR folks here, but basically there were like fire trucks coming in, and apparently the plane was like leaking oil or like leaking gas or something. Like, it was pretty dangerous because one spark and the whole plane's done. But God was there with us. He protected us. Me and my dad were praying in the back of the plane because Pastor Lee and his wife, they were sitting towards the front of the plane. So they got off the plane before like they figured out it was leaking oil. But like after that, like they pretty much closed the plane off. Like if something were to happen, then me and my dad and everyone else still on the plane would have kind of been done. But thankfully, nothing happened, and we were all able to get off the plane safely. So it's just to show that from the beginning, throughout the mission trip, and towards the end, God was with us the whole time, and he was protecting us. So that was my first point, is just relying on God through prayer and just faith. And second point is that, yeah, at the time of this mission trip, I was only 17. So that leads to my second point, is that you're never too young to start serving, helping out your community, or going on mission trips. Like, I remember before the mission trip started, that was my whole idea. It's like, I'm only 17, like, I'm not even a full adult yet. And it's like, yeah, like, how am I going to, like, share God's message or, like, through, like, I guess, like, back then, my Bible knowledge wasn't that great either. So it was kind of like, what can I offer to these youth students or these Chinese church members in Mexico? And then that was, like, that's not really the whole point of it. Because when you're going to this mission trip, like, it's not just sharing, I guess what you know. It's also sharing your experiences too. And up until that point, I had a lot of experiences to share. And yeah, that was something as well. Oh yeah, there was also something else that I wanted to tack onto the first point that I forgot to mention. But towards the end of the mission trip, what we were supposed to do is each member of our mission team were supposed to share our testimony to the whole church congregation. And once again, you're supposed to share only in Chinese. So yeah, I had to do a lot of workshopping again. But yeah, praise God for that though. I remember my dad telling me, yeah, your testimony, your Chinese was not off, and it sounded normal, so that was good. But back to my second point, which is that you shouldn't be hindered by this idea that you're too young to start helping out in the church community. Because in reality, like, I don't have any, like, fancy, like, Bible verses to help support my ideas, but it was like when David defeated Goliath. Like, he was only a teenager when he did that. Like, you don't have to be a certain age to start, I guess, doing the Lord's work is what I'm trying to say. And throughout my time at Mexico mission trip, I said I started shadowing my father and Yu-Ching. But I feel like towards the end, I was taking a lot more steps to kind of go out on my own with pamphlets and talk to the Chinese like store market vendors. And I feel like, yeah, God was definitely with me in there as well. Because the first day, I went out. I was like really nervous. I was like, I'm an introvert, so I don't really like, bothering people with this, even though it is extremely important. It's just like, that's just not something that I'm too, I guess, like what I like to do. But on the first day, I was like following my dad and like giving out flyers. But then towards the second and third day, I was pretty much just actively going out on my own and handing out flyers. And I feel like the reception was also a lot better too on the second and third day. It's probably also one of God's blessings. Like the people were more open, they were kind, and they acted interested as well, which, yeah, that was definitely a blessing too. But yeah. Also seeing like how much the girls, like the youth students helped out in the church as well, also kind of added to that kind of message where it's like, you're never too young to start helping out. Like they were doing so much, like pretty much all of the lunch preparations, they were helping with that. Pretty much leading praise, all of that was also them. So it's just like seeing how much they helped out, like in the church in Mexico, just it was really great to see. Because like a lot of youth do help out, like in these church fellowships as well, but just seeing like in comparison just how much they were doing, it's just like, yeah. I think, yeah, that should be pretty much all I have to say. So.